Hello, everyone. This is Poor Richard, and this is Rooster Radio, episode number one. I'm joined here by Revere and the Rev. Say hello, guys.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Hey, what's up, everybody? That's like the standard radio.
Hi.
Like, you know, when you're getting interviewed, right?
We are here, and we're the sidekicks of the radio show.
Okay, so let's talk about what Rooster Radio is.
All right.
Rooster Radio is a chance for us, the trio here, to communicate some truth to anyone that will listen. You know, we'll talk a lot about different themes such as waking up and being aware and really living your life, you know, and paying attention
not
to what's going on.
Not being a drugged out zombie.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And we want to bring up issues that are important here in America. We love freedom. We love liberty. We are part of that movement, and we want to do everything that we can to promote it. What do you think, Rev?
Well, gee, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, a lot of times I listen to radio late at night, and the guy will say something like, here I am broadcasting from my dark cave and something, you know.
Yeah,
and you're always
yeah.
laughing because you know they're like in a plush studio
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But we are broadcasting from a 157-year-old church building.
Yes.
And it is pouring down rain outside. It is in the middle of the flipping night, unless you're listening to this during the day. And then, of course, you can forget what I just said. But we are in a dark cave.
Literally.
Yes.
Kind of are.
Not really.
Well, no, but it's a really...
It's a well-lit dark cave.
It is a well-lit dark cave, and it is a really cool
but
space.
It's our dark cave, man. It is our dark cave.
It is
cave.
Ours. We run it. We rule it. We have named every bat in it.
And, you know, part of this... part of the hope for this radio broadcast is that we will encourage other people to go out and make it happen, literally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Start your own radio shows. Start your own machines of truth and justice and get the word out.
Absolutely. So what do we need to get the word out about?
Everything?
Yeah.
I mean,
the fact that the world is going in a spiraling toilet bowl?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, if you look at the local economy, the national economy, the international economy. I mean, we are pretty much screwed at this point. I mean, China is going bankrupt, and they make everything.
Wait, China's going bankrupt?
Yeah, the China yuan or yan or
yen.
Y-U-A-N.
Oh, the yen,
the
yes.
The yen is going bankrupt. It's so devalued.
No, there's no way.
Well, if you look at the model of the wonderful Federal Reserve that we have here in America and how they've devalued the dollar over the past almost 100 years since 1913, since Woodrow Wilson nationalized the bank into power. It's pretty much the same model. The international bankers have devalued the yen so much that it really has no purchasing power of any kind. I mean,
wow.
They might take it there, but, I mean, come on, man. We can look and see what's happening.
Well, the Chinese government also really works hard to devalue their own currency.
Yeah.
Because that's what keeps costs down.
Yeah.
That's what. So, you know, like, well, yeah, I mean, again, it's a government who is not working for the better. Well, they are working for the betterment of, because it really helps China out to have
it
a
It does
cheap,
help China yeah. out, but if we look at the history here, China is the poster child for the New World Order. They're the ones that enslave their people.
What did you just say?
They're the poster child for the New World Order.
For the New World Order.
Yeah, man.
Dude, now I actually heard about the New World Order once. I was watching YouTube the other day, and there was a 14-year-old kid on there talking about his history books.
Yeah.
Proclaiming a New World Order.
No way.
When I've mentioned a New World Order in school, the teachers and the faculty laugh. They literally call it a conspiracy, even though it's been admitted it's a conspiracy. But now I'm taking American history. Here's my book, American History, and as I was looking through it today in class, I came across something that we will be learning about. America in the New World Order. You can see that, I hope. 1970 to the present.
They talk about how NAFTA is a big part of the New World Order. The one thing they should talk about is the NAFTA superhighway, but they don't dare mention that in our history books.
Yeah, it's a really fun video, actually.
Wow.
I wish I was as smart and as dialed in as this kid is at 14.
Well, you weren't.
No, I was not.
No, I mean,
none
what,
of us were.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny when I think back to my life as a sleeper, I guess is a good way to say it, you know, where it's like you don't, nothing affects you outside of about a 3-foot radius around your body, you know, and it's just absolute consumption with yourself.
Well,
you
isn't
know?
That how a lot of American people are these days still?
Well, I don't think it's isolated to America either.
No,
man.
No
I think
it's not. But
this it's a system, man. It's
system
in place.
Of zombifying people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in place on purpose to dumb people down. It's in place on purpose to make the, just to distract people.
It really is, and, you know, I have to give it to the elitists. They've done a really good job of screwing us royally. I mean, you know, it's really ridiculous. If you look at this economic crisis, there's a news article here from Asia News. It talks about U.S., China, and the coming monetary storm. I mean, it talks about the massive levels of foreign debt that the United States has brought upon itself, literally. And the devaluation of China's yen. And it's just really kind of weird that this transnational oligarchy is emerging through the central banks, the Chinese Communist Party, Russia's oligarchies, and oil sheiks.
Well, what you're saying is this is a global economic crisis. I mean,
yeah.
We hear about protests at factories in Chicago. We have unions under fire. We've got the bailouts in the auto industry, the banking
and
cartels.
Banking, yeah.
Now let's talk about the banking cartels for a minute.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Weren't they paid now almost $8 trillion is the bailout now, the quote-unquote bailout?
Who knows, man? It's just like as many zeros as they want to add, and there's no accountability
my
for
my Uncle Joe's mama's grandfather, who doesn't work anymore because they got a broken spleen, can't pay their mortgage.
Yeah.
Because they lost their job at the local factory down there in Mississippi.
Right.
And what the heck has the bank done for them? Nothing.
Now, the AP is reporting today that Bank of America, I don't know if you've heard this story, but the Republic Door and Window Company, basically, they laid off, what, it was like 240 employees?
Something like that.
Something close to that. Anyways, they laid off a bunch of guys and said, look, factory's closing, Bank of America is not extending credit to us. Which, in one hand, I'm a capitalist pig, of course. So, like, fine, you don't want to give credit, don't give credit. But here's the deal. They just received how much money in that banker bailout program? That money technically belongs to the American citizens.
Totally.
And now they're saying, thanks for the bailout, but we're not going to loan you or give you a credit line to keep your business open. So these employees went to the street ripping pissed. Can you say that on the air?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Screwed.
Well, anyways, they are angry and they're protesting. It looks like now Bank of America is sick of being on the news every night about not extending this credit, so they're probably going to try to work out a deal.
Well, and I think we should break down a little bit, what this line of credit is and how this business uses it, and how many businesses across the country use it, and why. Okay, so this line of credit exists.
Tell us, poor Richard.
Thank you.
Tell us.
I will, Rev. So these businesses, and this is not just, you know, you can't just get down on Republic Windows and Doors Company, because this is fairly standard business practice where these businesses, they don't have enough cash on hand to cover expenses like payroll.
Right.
But based on future business that they will do, they typically have these very short-term lines of credit that they will use to write their payroll checks, and then, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, whatever, very short-term, they will pay this back. So, for instance, Republic Windows and Doors Company might need $99,000 for their weekly payout, for their weekly payroll.
Right.
So they go to Bank of America and they say, if you give me $99,000 today, tomorrow I will give you $100,000. And the interest rate is built based on that promise.
But if they just shut the line of credit, then it's game over.
Well, they can't pay their payroll, so then all right. their cash on hand is gone. They can't replenish inventory. They can't buy the raw materials they need for manufacturing. The business's doors are then closed.
Right.
So it's not just Republic Windows and Doors Company. It extends so far beyond that. This is a standard practice, and these banks who were just given the trillions of dollars in bailout money are now refusing to extend these lines of credit. So in essence, the banks are choosing to shut down the economy of America.
Well, yeah, and this could escalate.
Well, that's yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Republic
in the employees. What if all of these employees just take to the street and go buck nuts?
Well, you're going to see a 1930s style Great Depression like you've never seen it before since then.
Yeah.
I mean, even Barack Obama said that he thinks that these workers were absolutely right, that they need to be paid by the companies that promised to pay them a wage for their services.
Absolutely. There's no question. These, you know, these people are not fighting for, well, yeah, I think they're asking for 60 days of severance, which, you know,
is understandable.
It's understandable, but if the business is bankrupt, what can they do?
They can't pay it.
Exactly. But, you know, they worked, and they, in the middle of a pay period or what, you know, like, they're not getting paid for hours that they worked, and that's not okay. That's not okay. Not at all.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is just one company in the line of millions across this country that are in danger of being shut down.
Now, did you guys hear what happened to the governor there?
Oh, yeah. Arrested today for corruption charges.
Now, it's saying here in the Washington Post he was arrested because he withheld hundreds of millions of dollars from Bank of America for leverage to pressure them to pay these companies so they can pay their workers.
Really?
Yeah, in the Washington Post.
Wow.
Wow.
And now, I don't know if that was the reason he was arrested, because obviously you said he was arrested on corruption charges.
Yeah, I mean, he was tapped, which God only knows if it was a warranted tap.
Now,
you know
wait, what do you mean by tapped?
Well, he was recorded without his knowledge.
So, like Patriot Act type stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Or
now, this guy wasn't
suspected
of being a terrorist, was he?
Well, that depends on your definition of terrorist.
Was he a patriot?
Yeah.
We just don't know. But nonetheless, even if you're a governor, you can get your phone tapped.
Oh, absolutely. And this guy, I mean, let's be realistic here. He has an established record of very near corruption. Like this guy
is from Illinois.
Yeah, and
isn't Chicago and Illinois like notorious for corruption in government?
Oh, well,
isn't that where Obama's from?
Yeah, and the last governor, Governor George Ryan, you know, they at least waited until his term was over to indict him for all of his corruption charges, where he had license for bribes, I believe, was the title of the scandal, where he was basically selling commercial trucking license for his own profit.
Now, I wonder if Illinois is more corrupt, or if they just get caught more.
Well, we know that they're ran by the son of a crime boss, allegedly.
Really?
Yeah.
Which crime boss and which son?
Yeah, how many crime bosses are in Chicago exactly?
Well, you know, it's one of the most one of the biggest cities in America, I'm sure, so probably a lot.
Right. So you're just going to leave us hanging. You're going to just say this really mysterious type
well,
of comment,
you know,
like,
I was just making a point. I was just making a point from something that I read earlier. I got to go back here
well,
and
here,
Google
look,
it.
I've got a point for you, okay?
All right, sweet.
Is this a point that's backed up factually?
Backed up by the Sun Sentinel in Broward County in Florida.
Okay.
So here's the situation. Broward schools, and it seemed, I don't know what it is about that area of Florida, but they seem to be on the news every 5 minutes, like the national news.
This is Broward County?
Yeah, in Florida.
Okay.
They have requested Broward Schools Superintendent James Notter has requested $500 million bailout money from the federal government so that they can renovate old schools and buy state-of-the-art equipment. And his argument is that this $500 million project will boost Florida's economy.
Awesome.
So, you know, if it isn't enough that we have car bailouts, which, by the way, today it seems like they're going to cut a deal.
Oh, yeah. That's
I mean,
inevitable.
We knew that was going to come. Yeah, but either way, we're bailing out the cars. We're bailing out the banks, the insurance companies. Now, schools. Here's what I've heard. Now, the economy is bad. But you'll know when it gets really bad when state governments start asking for federal bailouts, when the state governments cannot meet their budgets.
Well, this is paired with Governor Schwarzenegger from California asking for a bailout for them.
Yep.
I actually thought of a way that this county could save money on their budget.
Well, okay, hold on. Let me play devil's advocate here. Because, you know, if I am a superintendent of schools, like, let's look at what percentage of $8 trillion is $500 million.
Yeah, I know. I get that. It's minuscule.
And this is it not only, well, it's not minuscule, but it's small in relative to $8 trillion. And, you know, this is $500 million that is going to people of America and benefiting them in a very real way.
Unless this guy handles this bailout like the Treasury has handled the bailout.
Well,
where they have no accountability and they spend it on whatever
Reserve.
You want.
Well, yeah, but see,
so
this
what
guy...
So what if he goes and buys a new yacht and goes, you know, sailing around Miami or goes down to Jamaica? You'd be pissed off, wouldn't you?
Well, of course. I mean, we can what if all night. But
I know, but that's what I'm saying. At now, what point does the bailout situation stop?
Well, and that was in my devil's advocacy.
Oh, right.
You know.
Oh, okay, I actually thought you were trying to make an argument here.
No.
Well, it stops when
we... I'm saying where is the line?
It stops when we pick up arms and just say no. I mean, come on. We didn't have a Second Amendment for nothing.
Well, you know, speaking of arms.
I mean, look.
Have you heard that the gun stores are selling out of firearms?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that even possible in America?
Well, we've got our president-elect in the Chicago Trib telling us, oh, don't you worry. Oh, my little people. You worriers that I am going to take your guns. Don't buy more guns when everybody knows that if you look at this guy's voting record, if there was a gun ban up, this guy voted yes.
Yeah, definitely. In 96, you know, he voted for the handgun ban and then later on said that his staffer marked it in for him, but he really wasn't for it. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, and it's all politicking, and that's exactly what this article is, and that's exactly what it's just meant to pacify. Just one more thing, you know? It's like, if they say it's true, it must be true.
Well, if you go back to look at Chicago, I pulled up that information for you, Rev. It
Thank
says
you.
That Mayor Robert D. Nadele has been mayor since 1989. He was the police chief 5 years before that, and he's a reputed crime boss.
Now, what's your source there?
The Chicago Sun-Times.
Wow.
Well, he's worked with multiple crime bosses like Anthony T. Centrotrio. Can't even say the guy's last name, but sounds like a nice guy. For racketeering conspiracy. I mean, what kind of people do we have coming out of this city? I know there's a lot of good people that live there because I have a lot of friends there, but who is running this city?
Well, who's... Yeah. I heard that city was run by a bunch of hippies.
No, there's a gun ban there, and I heard that hippies love guns, right?
I don't know. Yeah. Do they?
As someone who grew up in Illinois, mm-hmm. you know, it's very important. There is a very big distinction between Cook County and the Chicagoland area and the rest of Illinois. Mm-hmm. You know, Cook County and Chicago makes Illinois a solidly blue state.
Right.
However, if you look at the electoral map, it's 95% red, but everybody lives in those 5% of blue counties. Yeah.
Well, it's just like Nashville and Tennessee. Everybody in Nashville is blue, and everybody else in Tennessee is red.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone in Nashville is blue, but yes, everyone is.
I guess
is.
We're not green. What are we, like aquamarine or something?
Well, yeah, and let's get into red versus blue,
yeah,
you know? Let's get into this false idea that there are two parties running our country right now.
Because there's not.
There isn't. We have two sides of the same coin represented in Republicans and Democrats. Red and blue is a lie. That is created so that it's the standard divide and conquer mentality.
Well, if you want to be in the under the impression that you live in a democracy, then you have to offer up choices. But
yeah.
The question is, are we really a democracy?
Well, are we?
If you look at states' rights, we are.
Did your electronic voting machine count your vote?
Well,
who did your electronic voting machine vote for?
Hopefully Chuck Baldwin, because he's the man.
The point is, your electronic voting machine,
was
you don't
Chuck
know,
Baldwin on the
Oh yeah, he was
guy?
number 3 on the ballot.
Right.
Yep.
Thank you for voting, Rev.
I actually did vote for Chuck Baldwin. But I have to because he was a pastor.
Oh yeah.
And I just voted for that reason because
I'm a constitutionalist.
And a constitutionalist.
But we don't endorse any political.
Well, what's that? What's
no, we
that
don't.
Thing
listen,
no, actually,
let's make
you know
it clear.
What? We do whatever we want to.
We did not endorse a left or right candidate. That's what we're trying to say here.
What was that wonderful document that our founding fathers fought and died for called the Constitution?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
That what? Obama and Bush and Clinton and Bush Sr. and Ronald Reagan stepped and trampled all over for years.
Now, Ronald Reagan, I don't know if we can actually attack Ronald Reagan.
I'm not attacking him. I'm just stating facts.
He was kind of like a movie star turned god. He tore down the Berlin Wall, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Did he really tear down the Berlin Wall? Was he over there with his hands tearing down the Berlin Wall?
I heard that his wife used to consult the stars every day before they made political decisions.
Sure.
And
really?
Not the maps, but like astrology and stuff.
Huh.
Apparently they were in that.
What do you
think
about
astrology? Well, he did end the Cold War.
Well,
I mean, we got to give him some credit.
Did he really end the Cold War? I mean, did he really go out there and blow some hot on it?
Okay. Listen, speaking of war, let's go back and talk about the guns for a minute.
Okay.
I wanted to tell you guys about this story, but I took my friend Brownie to a gun shop today because he's trying to impress his father-in-law by having a desire to go deer hunting.
Really?
Yeah. Now
I want to impress my freezer with a bunch of deer meat.
You know what is awesome about deer? It is organic and free range.
Praise yeah. the Lord.
Not even on purpose.
Not even on purpose.
Because God knows we hate that GMO food.
So yeah. Anyways, I wanted to find my friend a good hunting rifle, but I'm not like super knowledgeable on being a rifleman.
Right.
So I went into this really cool little gun shop here in Nashville, and there's three old men just sitting around jawing. And
oh,
you know,
yeah.
when you get the old dudes, you know you're in the right place.
Absolutely.
That's right, man. They've shot some guns.
They have shot some guns, and they could say, so Anyways, but what I noticed was there was literally only like three rifles in the place.
How big was the shop?
Well, it is a small shop, but normally they would have 25, 30 rifles in there.
And they were down to three.
Yeah, of this, you know, of hunting rifles.
Right,
I mean,
right.
They had some shotguns and a few handguns, but
yeah,
even their handguns were very limited.
Wow.
Like, last time I was in there, they had that Sig Mosquito 22, and he had, like, four of them. Now he has one.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Really, like, dumping the guns.
Wow.
So, anyways, I asked him, what is the deal, man? Are you just time to order or what? When are you going to get some more guns? He's like, dude, every time. Well, he didn't say dude.
Yeah.
Because he's an old guy, but
an old Tennessee
partner.
Guy.
Yeah, he's an old. He was like, well, every time I order some guns, some people's buy them.
Oh no.
Anyways, they're being sold out, and I think maybe it's because of what you were saying that people are afraid Obama.
Oh no, nobody needs to buy guns. Obama, he assured us that it was okay. We don't need to buy guns.
He's
going to
send a military officer to your house to protect you. Pretty sure.
Yeah. Are you just making up stuff now?
No. That's what it says.
Oh,
Reuters.
You read that?
Yeah.
Reuters said they were going to send a military. No, you're making this
no,
up,
No,
right?
I'll pull it up for you right now.
You're kidding
do
me.
It, man.
I'll give you the date.
That is really interesting.
Well, what about his call for a million person security force, citizen security force on the level of the police or the military?
How does that work? How a civilian now is just going to arrest people?
Oh, well, it's all part of, oh, gosh, what is it? It's the civil corps, I think, or something like.
Civil officers.
Civil corps.
They have them in Britain.
Yeah.
Oh,
basically,
right.
It's like a civil officer that calls the police whenever you pet your cat wrong or
yeah, and they're in,
hug your dog or kiss your baby.
Welcome to America.
Whenever
well,
you're cleaning your
this,
your legal
it was
gun.
On his campaign website, you know, millions of people
I
saw it.
I remember that, yes.
And
I
they took
remember.
It down because everybody was so outraged by it. We don't need secret police. We don't need to be spying on our neighbors. They are. It's all of these things are used to turn us against each other.
I mean, Andy Griffith said it best when he said, "We don't spy on our neighbors. It's un-American."
That is an awesome clip.
That is a pretty good.
You should look that up, folks.
I think
Google
it's on
that
you,
crap.
You could,
oh, it's
you,
on YouTube.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But YouTube that the Andy Griffith Show.
Because Opie wanted to set up a sting operation with a tape recorder and record a prisoner. And while the prisoner was talking to his visitor. And so Opie's idea was, we can get him on tape.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
You what?
We bugged the cell with Arnold's tape recorder. Just listen to this, Paul.
I can't listen to that.
But, Paul.
Opie, I can't listen to that. I'm not permitted.
But, Paul, you don't understand.
Opie, I can't listen to this. Now, I told you about eavesdropping.
But, Paul, this is different.
Yes, it's worse. You overheard a conversation that was supposed to be private. Now, I can't be a party to that.
But, Paul, if you just listen to this.
Opie, I can't listen.
Paul, you're erasing the tape.
That's what I mean to do. You bugged a conversation between a lawyer and his client. Now, that's violating one of the most sacred rights of privacy.
But, Paul.
No buts.
But if it helps the law.
Opie, the law can't use this kind of help. Because whether a man is guilty or innocent, we have to find that out by due process of law.
And that was on TV a short 40 years ago?
I don't think it was even that long.
30 years ago? 20 years ago?
We need it on TV today because obviously the 24
well,
and Jack Bauer
yeah.
fans are losing control of their minds.
You know, people were still educated enough when Andy Griffith was on the air that they knew better than to record people without their knowledge.
Now, I know I'm always saying that America is going in a downfall.
Yeah.
But we have gone from the Andy Griffith Show to 24.
Well, yeah.
And this is just a symbol of police injustice, okay? Now, that doesn't even account for the reality shows and the insane, like, let's have sex with everybody TV shows. But, you know, 24, which I actually have really enjoyed the show before, it's creepy, man, how whatever they're talking about happens in real life.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I mean, they're over there in Africa right now, and we know all the wars that are going on over there with the UN.
You mean the season premiere that has Jack Bauer in 24 Africa.
Redemption.
And he's supposed to come back to the U.S. to be tried for torture. Now, interesting, the Sunday Post wrote this. How many Americans died because of Bush's torture program? According to Special Operations Intelligence Officer, the number is a number north of 3,000 people, not counting 10,000 maimed or seriously wounded. But this is according to Sunday's Washington Post. How many Americans died because of Bush's torture program? 3,000.
Over 3,000. And this is admitted.
Now, isn't that number actually higher than what they are saying has been killed in the Iraq War?
You mean soldiers?
Yeah.
Like over 4,000.
So, wow. I mean, I'm just, who are these people torturing?
Well, and this is comparable to the amount of people killed in the attacks of 9/11.
So, Washington Post says that under Donald Rumsfeld, this type of torture was happening.
How many people have to die? How many innocent people have to die before people will just wake up?
Before we bring democracy to Iraq, how many people have to die for it, huh? I mean, it's really ridiculous.
It's just, it's overwhelming.
Well, there might be some justice for some citizens of Iraq, as we see that Blackwater is being tried for, what is it, a manslaughter charge, right?
Yeah, you have five soldiers that are being tried for manslaughter, and the sixth soldier actually pled guilty to manslaughter, which is kind of interesting because, you know, why would he plead guilty if he's innocent, if the rest of them are innocent?
Well,
we're not going to judge.
I barely know where to start with this because manslaughter, oh my gosh, manslaughter is obviously, the reason it's called manslaughter is because it's a lesser charge than first degree, second degree murder.
Of course.
Because there, in a manslaughter charge, there is no allegation of premeditation, okay? So these guys are contracted soldiers who go on these patrols with automatic weapons, armed to the teeth, but they're not planning to kill anybody ever.
They're just contracted.
They're just out there.
They're security personnel.
Yeah, they're just securing the situation. So, you know, whatever. You know, like, they weren't planning on killing anybody. Well, maybe. Who knows? But this charge says that they weren't, and in the heat of the moment, they killed 14 women and children. Okay?
Allegedly. Well,
again,
there was some killing happening. I guess right now the question is motive.
Yes, yeah, yeah. There's no question that these killings happened.
Unfortunately, a couple happen. Of these boys, I don't know how old they are, I assume they're probably young men, are from Tennessee.
Yeah, they are.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah.
So when does this trial take place? Do we know?
Well, they were just charged today. The initial question in the trial is basically, do we have a right to try these men? Okay, because as a private contractor, there's a legal question as to whether or not they are governed by the Department of Justice rules and regulations and laws, okay? So, if what I am afraid of is that this is planned, okay? These indictments are planned. They'll have one guy plead guilty, and so then the public says, okay, there's one guy that's taking responsibility. Then they have these other 13 counts of pleading not guilty, okay? And what's going to happen is they're found not guilty, the case is thrown out, and they're setting a precedent for for any of these contractors to pull the trigger whenever they want to with no consequences.
Now, did you guys see the documentary, The Ghost of Abu Ghraib?
I did.
I mean, that was a really great film of talking about how the contractors would come in and take control and give commands even to many of the military officials. And some of the kids, literally children, I mean, what, 19 and 20 years old, some of them, sitting there guarding prisoners and taking orders from these hardened security personnel, ex-military guys.
Yeah.
And they had total contractual rule over these prisons as part of their contracts. And then they look for the young military guys and they make them to be fall people.
Right.
And then that's what you hear all over the news all around the world. It's look at the American military. They're bad. They're bad. They're evil, you know. And regardless of political rhetoric that we hear, a lot of these contractors are committing atrocities and dangerous things that are making the U.S. military look really bad on a world scale.
Oh, yeah. Well, these guys, there's no question, these guys are clearly a huge part of the problem. And I hope and pray that this trial is a legitimate trial and it is a legitimate seeking of justice.
Yeah.
Because these people, only innocent time is gonna women tell. And children, innocent women and children. My God.
Well, when you read reports about non-military combatants that are firing on cars, Iraqi cars that are just driving down the road for no reason at all, but they just got a little bit close to them and they fire on them. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know, I personally would not want to be in that combat situation and have to make the kind of decisions that these guys do. Just playing devil's advocate, we don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah, and that's why we have a court in place for a trial where evidence can be aired.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys are innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
Again, there's no question if they killed them or not, because they did. The question is, was it a justified act of self-defense?
Well, we want to see justice regardless of who's at fault. You know,
absolutely.
People have to be held accountable for their actions.
Absolutely.
You know, this might be a good time to mention our sponsor, Christian Action Against Apathy.
Absolutely. We are eternally grateful to the folks at CAAA who produce the show, and they help us bring it to you guys at no cost.
Revere, what's the website that people can find out about CAAA?
Well, it's CAAA.com. That's CAAA.com or ChristianActionAgainstApathy.com. And, you know, they're going to start doing a lot of really great things in the Nashville area if you live in Nashville, like documentary nights and feeding the homeless and things like that, starting up back in January after the holidays. So take some time to really soak all this in, and then hopefully you can come on down and meet up with us.
CAAA is about truth through education, debate, documentary nights,
absolutely,
DVD distribution,
yep,
teaching and lectures, and also service, which is a lot of the humanitarian work, the food pantry that is run out of Nashville. There's a CAAA food pantry if you know anyone who's in need of groceries, and also working with refugees from all around the world, helping to do some things with World Relief. And then, of course, you have the protest action arm of CAAA, which got a little bit of national notoriety during the presidential debates.
That definitely is correct.
Our good old buddy, poor Richard over here, got a...
yeah, smooth move, man. You got escorted off campus by the Metro Police Department.
I did get escorted by police.
You want to talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah.
Economists estimate that every troubled mortgage could be paid off with $100 billion. We just passed a bailout of $700 billion. The backing every kind of derivative paper that's a worthless investment. Look into fractional banking. The Federal Reserve is bankrupting America. You cannot
advance
wealth.
What I'm doing is not telling them that I'm not Obama.
Why don't you have them? Hey, Obama, get out of my fucking way.
Obama and McCain are the same. Obama and McCain are the same. Obama and McCain are the same.
John McCain and Barack Obama will not be debating any real issues. We need to change the two-party system that's been monopolized by an elite ruling class that doesn't care about any of you.
Obama, you're the third person. But I'm not going to stop.
Okay, we leave the property.
No, this is the public
I am now being escorted by police away from the scene.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's important for people to understand that, you know, we went there with an agenda. We went there to have our voice heard. We went there to represent the growing majority of Americans that do not support the one party system that we have in power here. You know, we went to expose that John McCain and Barack Obama are the same. If you look at the list of their top 20 Political Action Committee contributors over their careers, you will see that the common thread is all of these banks, Chase, their J.P. Morgan, all the banks that were bailed out, essentially, are all huge contributors to both Barack Obama and John McCain. And they were both, not only were they supporters of the bailout bill, but they were, well, John McCain hoped to be an architect, considered an architect of it, and, you know, he failed at pretty much everything he did politically in the presidential race, but, you know, that's... It is what it is.
It is what it is.
The point is that they are the same. There is no difference. And because I wanted to say that in front of everyone that was there.
Primarily Obama supporters.
Primarily though. Obama supporters.
The crowd turned on you, didn't they?
The crowd turned on me big time. I had a United Auto Workers guy.
Yes.
Who just thought he was Barney Fife. Well, no, that was all the Belmont security officers.
This guy was much
this guy
much
was
worse
probably more along the
than a Barney Fife guy would.
More along the lines of like a pro wrestler, really.
You know, I looked at the video on YouTube several times, and it's so clear he's shouting profanities and shoving and just going crazy.
Oh, he was like he was inches away from my ear, and he screamed the F word at me.
What was it? Why was he so outraged?
He was outraged. Because he is a monkey that is under the control of these people that want him to believe that Obama is his savior.
Well,
and he
what?
Could not handle the factual confrontation. You know, oh my gosh, the information
was
communicating.
I wonder how this steelworker union guy, is that right? Wonder how he felt Sunday.
Well, United Auto Workers.
Oh, he's an auto worker guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I wonder how this guy felt on Sunday morning when Obama was on Meet the Press. Did you hear this?
No.
And he said on Meet the Press, in order to fix the crises in America, we are going to do things that average Americans are going to strongly dislike. Now, I'm ad-libbing because I can't remember the exact quote. But probably Revere can find it for us on Meet the Press.
Yeah. Well, and
but it's a really intense thing.
Yeah.
Like,
over and over, Obama
we're
going to
fix
saying,
this, but you're going to really
going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. That yes. might actually be the exact quote.
He said that over and over.
He may
actually.
Have said it again, but
it's a
remarkable.
Talking point. I would think at this point. So anyway, you know, that's a good question. I do wonder how he thinks, but the approach of these Obamaites or whatever you want to call them, you know, it's just one more case of shutting your brain off and falling into line.
Yeah.
That's all it is, man. And the fact is, man, we are here to expose this stuff, and we are here to demonstrate why it is this way.
You know, I wanted really quickly to do a shout-out to Dr. Future.
Absolutely.
And Mike Tater at Future Quake Radio. And they're on, you know, here and there. But if you want to get information on their show, it's futurequake.com. And they are a different type of a Christian radio show. And they talk about a lot of things we plan on talking about. But they go in more in-depth. And they have special guests, people that are smarter than us.
Yeah.
And but they've been really inspirational in encouraging us to get our radio show going. So we want to shout out to them at Future Quake.
Absolutely.
And say thank you for actually believing that we have something to say.
Yeah.
That's different.
And they have, yeah, they really have, you know, Dr. Future has really encouraged me personally quite a bit. And just been very supportive throughout the, you know, the Belmont incident, and you just never know how people are going to react.
The thing about Dr. Future that you love is he gets out of his car, puts on his jacket, and he gets in the mix.
He does.
And I said to him, we were at the Federal Reserve rally. I said I wanted to know, like, man, what are you coming down to protest? He's like, I'm in the media. And the world needs to know what's happening here. He's just so passionate, you know.
Yes.
I just really love the fact that he's so passionate.
Yes, he is outstanding. As he's really a great interviewer, man.
You know, I wonder if that monkey youth pastor guy down there on Broadway who yelled at us and said that we were stupid.
Well, okay, now this needs some background there, Rev.
I just wonder what he thinks about
the statement that we're
going to get hurt by Obama. Now, not that, but you know what I'm saying.
Are you talking about the End the Fed rally?
The yes. End the Fed rally, the guy yelling at us down on Broadway, and he called us stupid.
Now, listen, we were down there with the rest of the guys from CAAA with a lot of different organizations like the John Birch Society and
Campaign
for Liberty, Ron Paul's organization, trying to demonstrate to Nashville and the American people that we are sick and tired of the same old rhetoric from the Secretary of Treasury and the Federal Reserve, and that we're tired of them printing money out of thin air without backing it up with gold or silver or some kind of hard currency. And so we were down there a few weeks ago, and after protesting the Federal Reserve, which we got amazing responses from, we went down to the Federal Building on Broadway, which is the main road running through Nashville, the U.S. Courthouse Building where the IRS is, and we started to protest the IRS and their illegal and unconstitutional acts of taxing income on the American people.
Wait, let me just say, because that's a pretty big statement for
sure.
A lot of people to hear, but we're going to have to go into that one day to talk about that. But for now, you could watch the movie Freedom to Fascism.
America.
Freedom
to Fascism.
Freedom to Fascism.
From Freedom to Fascism.
No, it's America, Freedom to Fascism.
Yeah, well, it's...
You don't even know what it is.
No, it's America from Freedom to Fascism.
Okay, well...
That would be the official, but you
anyways,
can probably
done,
find that on Google Video.
It's done by Aaron Russo, just to let you guys know if you have a hard time looking it up. Look up Aaron Russo, famous documentary
filmmaker.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's cool. Well, basically, these two security guards came outside and said, you can't be filming the side of this building. And we said, well, it's a public building.
You can't take pictures of the building that you paid for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a public building that citizens paid for. And so,
well, I want to say the security guard. I said we can film it. It's a public building, and he said, "No, it's not. It's a federal building,"
which doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
And then he said, "You can't film it."
A
and we said,
"Public building is a federal building, but the Federal Reserve building is actually a private corporation." Building.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's how all this madness started. So, anyways, he said, "You cannot film this. It's the law." And we said, "Show us the law." Needless to say, he could not show us the law because there is no law saying you can't film
a public
building.
He didn't say anything.
And he went back inside. So that's when we started walking down Broadway.
I make $9 an hour.
Yeah. Well, right. He protects the IRS. I'm sure he makes more than that. He's
paid probably
off.
12.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we went down Broadway, and that's when we were really welcomed by a lot of people in Nashville who understood our message and were standing right there along with us. Because they're getting raped and pillaged by the same
You know
what's
tools. Funny? When we first walked up to the building, those guys came out the door. And you know what they – did you hear what they said?
Well,
they said,
weren't you supposed to be at the Federal Reserve?
Yeah, you're at the wrong building. It's up the hill. I was like, nope, we're in the right building.
And we were like – we were thinking, how did you know we were coming? I mean, did you see us or did you just get it across the wire?
It was nationwide, man.
Nationwide protests. And we're going to be doing another one in, I believe, April. So pay attention to that.
Yeah.
It's endthefed.us. Anyway, so I looked up that – that quote that President-elect Obama said on Meet the Press.
Yeah, how was that?
I should have ad-libbed. He was talking about, you know, printing money. He made a good point saying that we're not going to be able to just keep on printing money. I respect him for that point. But he also said at some point we're also going to have to make some long-term decisions in terms of fiscal responsibility, and not all of those choices are going to be popular. So, I mean, what kind of decisions are we talking about here?
That was the quote from Meet the Press?
Yeah, it was. Mm.
But that's kind of a common theme that he's said many times.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens with that.
This is what he said. Yeah. He said, fortunately, as tough as times are right now, and things are going to get worse before they get better, there is a convergence between circumstances and agenda. The key for us is making sure that we jumpstart that economy in a way that doesn't just deal with the short term, doesn't just create jobs immediately, but also puts us on a glide path for long-term sustainable economic growth. Now, you know, this guy, President-elect Obama, as much as the things he's saying sound good, the guy has a long track record of supporting things that are popular and then turning around and doing whatever he wants to do instead of obeying the Constitution and listening to the people.
I feel like we've talked a lot about Obama tonight.
Yeah, we have. Is that okay? Well, yeah. It's very, very relevant. You know, people need to understand what's coming. They need to understand.
We honestly don't know what's coming.
No,
nah,
that's true. That's true.
We just
totally
don't
guess.
Know.
Joe Biden did say there's going to be
Colin Powell.
A crisis around the 20th
Absolutely.
Or 21st
and
of January,
I think
which
Powell
is the.
Actually went as far to say it had something to do with Pakistan and India, and here we see a crisis emerging.
And there's a wonderful, you know, and almost war going on right now between Pakistan and India. About 8 months ago, they were averted from an almost nuclear war. You know, and there's a lot of stipulations being put out there that the ISI, which is a CIA front, provocateur.
You said stipulations.
Stipulations.
Stipulations. I don't know if that's the right word, is it?
Well, there's a lot of thoughts going around saying that the ISI, controlled by the CIA,
I have a stipulation for you.
Could possibly have provocateur the attacks in Mumbai, India.
Well,
that led to over 170 deaths.
Yeah, it is on YouTube now. The former head of ISI, Pakistani official, was on CNN, and he said that all the evidence currently points to the incidents in Mumbai were provocateured, false flag, staged acts of terrorism to provoke a confrontation between India and Pakistan.
So when the headline news said, in the little banner, it said, India's 9/11. It actually was like 9/11.
Absolutely.
Now, interestingly enough, they They. Who's they?
The big they.
Let me pull up this report here about these patsies. Do you know what a patsy is?
Tell us. It sounds fun.
Basically, a patsy is someone who is set up by an organization or a government to take the fall guy. So there is a news article put out today by PrisonPlanet.com that says that tortured patsies confessed to 9/11. Interestingly enough, five detainees at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba say they want to confess to conspiracy charges for planning the September 11, 2001 attacks, a Pentagon spokeswoman said Monday, reports CNN. You know, I just think it's kind of crazy that there are literally thousands of scientific evidence and documentation done by scientists and people much smarter than myself that says that when you torture someone to try
to get them to say whatever they want.
Yeah, you get them to say whatever you want them to say. Are you blue? I'm going to torture you till you say you're blue. I mean, you might turn them blue, so then they're actually blue, but they weren't blue to start out with. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, there are literally hundreds and thousands of documents where we have patsies that are tortured by our own government in Guantanamo Bay, which is an illegal and unconstitutional act.
Now,
to get them to do whatever they want.
I guess Obama is seriously considering closing down Guantanamo
Bay. I hope he does.
I hope he does, too.
We'll see.
Yeah, and it's, again, we will see. We don't know what's going
to
happen.
Does it matter if you close it down if you just send them to another place?
Or if now the precedent is that we can do it here in America.
Well, it's just like...
Yeah, that would be kind of scary.
Obama was talking about...
To American citizens.
Obama was talking about getting us out of the war. Now, we know we're going to be in Iraq for another 3 years because Bush signed the agreement the other week. But he wants to... Obama wants to move the troops from Iraq to Pakistan.
Well,
now why would he want to do that? Isn't that kind of interesting with the whole India-Pakistan thing going on right now?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's about to get crazy.
And as we know, Pakistan, they're allies with who? China?
It's beyond crazy.
And India is allies with who? Russia? Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, Russia and China are our enemies. Quote unquote.
Well, I tell you what, it does seem dark, doesn't it?
Well, yeah,
it
you know, I have a wonderful document here about the Canadian Prime Minister winning his suspension of Parliament. And, you know, this was put out by Reuters the other day. November the 5th.
Everything's nuts in Canada right now.
It is. You know, and the Governor General, Michelle Jean, the representative of Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state, Queen Elizabeth is Canada's head of state?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Really?
They're a constitutional monarch.
Yeah, and you know what? If anything good comes out of this crisis, is going to be for Canadians to see that. Now, just imagine as an American if somebody told you the Queen of England was ruling your country, and you're like, no way, man. But in that, Canadians have denied this fact, but it is a fact that she influences all political decisions
with the North American Union that was signed into power in 2002 by President Bush.
Yeah, I know what you're going to ask, and I have no idea.
This Queen Elizabeth
are
could.
Are the British taking over America?
Queen
again,
Elizabeth
the North American
could.
Union?
Queen Elizabeth could be controlling our trade routes from Canada to Mexico and vice versa.
Well, you know what? We got a lot of stuff to research here.
Now, listen, the representative of Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state, agreed to Harper's request to shut down the democracy of the parliament until January 26th.
Wow.
Now, how does she have the power to do that if she's not in control of Canada?
Well, she is in control, and she has always been in control.
Now, I've seen a lot of reports that she's in control of over 40 countries through a constitutional monarchy, like my buddy Poor Richard said.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that just wild?
Well,
I guess the British never really were taken out of power.
Listen, Canadian people need to wake up and see what's going on. So if this is the type of thing that's going to get them to wake up and see that they are not in the control that they believe they are. See, every country is going to see this. Well, you know what? I want to end with a story as we're winding our time down. This story came out Friday in the Washington Times. The headline says, New Study, Americans Pray. just to get through the day. We've got to pray just to make it today. Little MC Hammer. Gotta have some hammer. Now, the article here says that more Americans are praying on a regular basis than before. Politicians come and go, fashions evolve, and cultures shift with an alarming frequency. But what is consistent? Americans pray. 90% of the American population claims to pray, to have a spiritual interlude with God, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And this was a survey run by Brandeis University. Half pray several times a day, in fact. Most prayer writers imagine a God who is accessible, listening, and a source of emotional and psychological support.
Well, it didn't make sense, you know, in a time of economic trouble and uncertainty and everything like that. People generally, when all of these circumstances that are out of their control feel like they are consuming them, they generally turn to someone or something that they believe is in control,
yeah,
and can help them. And it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So with that, I think we will bring a close to the very first edition of Rooster Radio.
Yeah, this is a good time, guys.
Yeah,
I think,
man.
So.
I think we got a lot of ground covering. We probably, you know, if you hear us say anything, all you have to do is do a little research. We would ask you to do your own research.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're going to have an email address and things up online here at the CAAA website.
Yeah, you can always
send an email
there.
To us and send your comments. As you listen to the show, listen, we want to remind everyone to love each other.
Absolutely.
To be a neighbor, take care of each other, take care of your family, treat people with dignity and respect, fight the spirit of Lucifer and the darkness that destroys our world.
Definitely. You know, I just want to say one last thing.
That
you know,
was very future quake.
God is good, but he gives us a free choice every day to fight evil, and we have to pick up our sword.
Absolutely.
And cut Satan's head off.
There we go.
Did you like that? That was my little prop to Mike.
Yes.
All right. God bless you guys. Goodbye.
God bless.